views expressed in the following program are not necessarily those of this station, its owners, staff, or management. The following paid program is sponsored by Azorian. Wondering who's in your cyberspace? Then you're in the right place. Welcome to the Charles Tendell Show, the show where you can learn how to protect your online business and personal information. Charles Tendell is a cybersecurity consultant and ethical hacker, and he's here to answer all of your cyber concerns.
Heads up, everybody. It's Peter Boyles. It's 5 p.m. Get ready for Hacked. You got problems with computers. Kids are being bullied. Somebody's messing with you. How about dating online? Charles Tendell forgot more about computers than most people know. Get ready. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Charles.
What's going on, people? Welcome. This is Hacked, the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk 1690 AM. Eventful show. Yesterday and the day before, actually a pretty good shows all this week, from all the way over from last week. We've talked about, of course, the Orlando shooting and the tragedy that's happened here in this country. We've talked about how what did we talk about? Donnie, you missed it. We talked about a lot of good stuff.
Sorry.
Oh, he's so sad. But we did talk about Google manipulating search results, and we've talked about money, and we've talked about all kinds of sort of funny things, but this today actually aligns with what the station is. It's all about money, right? It's all about your money, but the fun part is it's always good when money shifts or merges with cybersecurity. So today's show, it seems like, the headline is Morgan Stanley, and if you don't know who Morgan Stanley is, they are the Morgan in J.P. Morgan Chase. They're a huge financial institution here in America. They're one of the biggest ones in America. They're a multinational financial services corporation headquartered out in New York. And as of, I think, last year, they've got over almost close to 1,400 offices, 60,000 employees, and they handle most, if not all, of the money of the big people in the United States. And the company had somewhere in the area of $1.5 trillion, that's with a T, dollars in assets that they managed, right? So if you've got a 401k, you've got anything else out there like that, you're probably one of these people. Well, last week it looks like Morgan Stanley got hit with a fine from the SEC. Now, that's the Securities and Exchange Commission. They fined them for neglecting almost 700,000 pieces or 700,000 clients' personally identifiable information on their systems. They had them there, they had it available. And the funny thing is, I think this one is the one where it got hacked because of someone's private server. And joining me on the show today is a former judge, advocate general, Army JAG officer, worked at Cybercom, worked at the NSA, he's the most amazing guy I've ever met, and he's a lawyer, so it's really hard to not like this guy. So welcome into the show, David Wilson. David, welcome to the Charles Tendell Show, man.
Thanks, Charles. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. How about yourself?
Pretty good.
So,
I'm not getting sued by the SEC, so that's good.
Well, I think if you were getting sued by the SEC, you'd have other problems.
Yeah.
I mean, that's I've seen them come into a couple of different organizations over the course of my career, and they are seriously a force to be reckoned with. Like, I mean, it's if the Fed can't get you, if the FBI can't get you, if whoever can't get you, the SEC will suck you dry with all of your money.
Yeah.
So what is this? So Morgan Stanley got hit with a fine because they got hacked?
Well, what happened was one of their employees, and it's not clear from the order whether the employee had access to all these 700,000 accounts, but various employees are allowed to access the accounts of their clients,
mm-hmm.
and review those accounts and do what they need to do. Apparently, this guy accessed 700,000 customer accounts,
mm-hmm.
and it's not 100% clear. He says he didn't do anything wrong, but it appears he moved these the information on these accounts to a private server or a private website.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they investigated further after accusing him of posting that information to the Internet, they found out that he didn't post it to the Internet. A hacker got into his site or his server and posted that information to a website.
Jesus, this sounded all familiar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just a little bit. But you
AKA
would think you
Guccifer.
Right. So Guccifer. Let's say Guccifer got a hold of all these people's information or hacked Morgan Stanley. But it's he probably did. But it is very similar, right? There's somebody else with a private server doing whatever it is that they feel like they should be doing, accessing records of almost 700,000 people, if not more, and he gets hacked. But is it? I wonder. Was it because he had poor cybersecurity skills, or was it who's really at fault here?
The SEC.
No, the SEC? How is the SEC is at fault because they fined somebody?
Well, I personally have a hard time with the FTC and the SEC lately because they're taking a really heavy-handed approach to data breaches. Now, granted, the majority of the ones that I've researched, the companies were just stupid because they weren't even doing the basics.
Right.
But when you read through this, they met the letter of the law, maybe not the intent of the law. It was basically you have to put policies and procedures that are reasonable in place to ensure safe security and confidentiality of customer records and information, protect against any anticipated threats or hazards, protect against unauthorized access, so on and so forth. Very general.
So if the SEC, if it looks like Morgan Stanley was adhering to all of this, why did Morgan Stanley was the one that got fined then?
Because the SEC went in and basically, in a nutshell, they said, well, you did have the policies, you did have the procedures, but you got breached, so we're going to fine you.
So they weren't enforcing it. This guy got away with doing it all on his own private server, got caught, lost the data, and the SEC was like, you know what, you should have spent more time enforcing the policy with these guys. And because
well, they're
you didn't,
claiming they didn't really test it or they didn't audit it frequently enough. It was really nitpicky. And the J.P. Morgan, when they found out, they immediately went to get rid of the information. They notified law enforcement. They notified customers. It looks like they did everything they were supposed to have done. Now, could they have done more auditing?
More? Okay. Well, David, the music means we're up against a break, so hang out for a minute. We'll be right back. This is Hack, the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk 1690 AM.
Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. Thousands of people just like you have listened to Hacked, the Charles Tendell Show, live, streamed online at thecharlestendellshow.com or at their leisure on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and more, with topics on cybersecurity's do's and don'ts, privacy, best practices, online dating, and commentary from industry leaders. Hacked, the Charles Tendell Show, attracts consumers and business professionals from all over. Join the conversation by becoming a sponsor. Weigh in on industry trends and the hottest headlines, all while promoting your brand to an always and rapidly expanding audience. Call 303-872-0115 or visit thecharlestendellshow.com for more information. Sponsorships go fast, so don't delay. Call 303-872-0115 or log on at thecharlestendellshow.com today. That's thecharlestendellshow.com.
In the summer, it's hot in the upstairs bedrooms most of the day. Our office is up there and it's sweltering. We've used one of those big fans in the evening, but it pulls in too much dust and pollen. The AC ran constantly, yet the only cool place in the house is the basement. My husband started insisting we buy a new air conditioner, and that's when I called the people at AirSwap. AirSwap showed me my furnace and air conditioner are the right size for my house, and my air conditioner was working just fine. They adjusted our ductwork, created stronger airflow to distribute all that cool air in the basement, and this even helped us save electricity. The house is more comfortable in the winter as well. They reduced the big temperature difference between the floors, and now the upstairs is comfortable during the day and early evening. Call them at 303-761-0729, on the web at air-swap.com, 303-761-0729, or air-swap.com. www.charlestendell.com.
Now, back to the Charles Tendell Show on KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
It's music you can dance to, but you really shouldn't, because if you're out there right now, it is only 15 minutes after 5, so you should probably not be dancing, unless you're keeping your hands on the wheel and focused. Welcome back. This is Hacked, the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. I'm talking to David Wilson about the SEC getting involved with a data breach that most people haven't even heard about. They didn't even know that this level of breach had actually happened, and I'm pretty sure I didn't get a notice of it. But so, I mean, I'm in the field, so I get to see these things, but most people didn't know that Morgan Stanley got hit with a fine after losing 700,000 people's records because of an employee, because of an insider, because of an insider threat. If you've got questions for me or my guest, 303-632-4160. Number again, 303-632-4160. It'll get you on and involved in the conversation. If you're over on Facebook, which some of you are, you're watching this my half of the show anyway, live streamed to Facebook. So comment, click below, subscribe, get involved in the conversation, or go over to the charlestendellshow.com. You can listen to the show live there. You can listen to the live stream by clicking the Listen Live button, or you can subscribe to the podcast and listen to it later. It's in iTunes. It's on TuneIn. It's on Stitcher. It's on Blog Talk. It's everywhere. So if it's got a place where you can find a podcast, you can find the show. If you've got other stuff going on, like you're sitting there right now and you don't want to call, you don't want to email, you don't want to do any other stuff, go in to your favorite app store and download the 1690 KDMT app. You can text the show, you can listen to the live stream, and you can check out some of the other people on the KDMT lineup. So, David, this whole story, right? So this whole story is the SEC, the Security and Exchange Commission, the people who are in charge of all of the money. And correct me if I'm wrong in the way that these cats work, they're the reporting agency that defines what the stock market is, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the reporting agency,
investments and things like that. Mm-hmm.
Right. And, I mean, if you've ever seen The Wolf of Wall Street, you know who the SEC is. That's, yeah. Isn't that how the guy ended up going to jail?
Yeah.
Was because of the SEC. So the SEC fines Morgan Stanley for a breach that I didn't know it happened until I read this. Had you heard about this breach before now?
No. Mm-mm.
Wow. So a breach that they pretty much kept quiet, but, oh, my goodness, it's not really a breach. It's somebody doing a Hillary and having their own private server got hacked and lost 700,000 records, and the SEC came down on Morgan Stanley for the cost of $1 million.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, and I have no love lost for Morgan Stanley. I'm not trying to protect them. But this is the heavy-handed nature of the SEC and the FTC. They basically say, you were breached, we're going to fine you, you can fight us in court, we'll make it very public. Or you can accept our terms, no liability, except we're going to fine you heavily. And granted, for a multi-trillion-dollar company like J.P. Morgan, million-dollar fine is
was nothing.
A bucket. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so wait a minute. Wait. So you're saying that the SEC came down too hard on Morgan Stanley?
No. I mean, for Morgan Stanley, it was like a buzzing fly. It was really nothing. If I were one of the smaller companies, I would be concerned that they're now being very nitpicky. And basically, it almost seems like if you try and implement the best security possible, but you got breached, they're going to find something potentially wrong with that security and say, oh, you were negligent because you didn't test it every 10 minutes, or you didn't notify everybody right away. Something very nitpicky like that. Now, granted, like I said before, a lot of the cases that you look at, especially with the FTC, the companies that were fined didn't even meet the basics. Like they had lousy passwords, no firewall, or they didn't change the default passwords on firewalls, all kinds of really basic, stupid stuff.
No.
But here, when you read through it, you're like, especially if you were a layperson, you would be like, wow, they had some incredible security, it looks like here. Oh, well, they didn't do one little minute thing, boom, they're fined.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the government's not going to put out comprehensive practical standards other than a broad, oh, you have to have policies and procedures. Oh, and by the way, you violated that because you didn't do something obscure. It's just very heavy-handed.
That's right, but so I'm confused here. I honestly think that the SEC needs to do more of this. They need to find more people. They need to get more people to saying you're not having the right policies and procedures or going to the greatest lengths to protect people's personal data. I mean, we are now in the time of, you know what, it really doesn't matter. Everybody and their brother's gotten hacked. All of my personal data is out there. Nobody really cares anymore. I got that. But banks, you would assume, financial institutions, you would assume, would still be, you know, at least a little bit more secure. You know, they would still be the ones that we could count on to make sure at least the money is safe. But this seems to be out of their control a little bit. You know, they had a rogue employee who went and put up his own server, who went and started doing his own thing. He got hacked and his data ended up on the internet. Okay, so it's a rogue employee. They had all the policies in place, the procedures in place to protect what's inside their walls. But they had this one rogue employee, and they should have probably been checking on him because, you know, there should have been a policy there somewhere that said, hey, if you're going to do something like this, it needs to have the following controls on it, and we need to check on it every couple of months or every 90 days or whatever it is to make it more secure. So I think they're doing good. I think they need to find more major companies. Well, I think they should have found more money than $1 million. I think it should have been like $100,000 a record.
Yeah, and from a consumer perspective, I would agree. The problem I'm having with it is how nitpicking they're being. There are a lot of companies out there, and banks, government contractors, commercial companies, who don't even have any policies, much less the level of security that Morgan Stanley had here. There's a lot of companies out there they could be going after. And again, I'm not defending Morgan Stanley, just the way they approached it. If they had put out guidance, okay, you have to have policies and procedures under the rule implemented by this agency or by Congress or whoever implemented that rule, and here's the guidance. We recommend that you do auditing X number of times a year. You ensure this security is working, on and on and on. Then they could say, hey, we put out that guidance. You didn't really follow it. But I don't think there's really any guidance out there. It's just here's some amorphous general guidelines for security, and you did the best you could, but oh, look, you didn't make sure that nobody could transfer. And they had the ruling says they did have security that attempted to prevent employees from moving information off their servers onto others, and this guy had some sort of workaround.
Yeah, so he bypassed it.
Yeah, are they supposed to anticipate every possible scenario that can happen?
Well, not even a matter of anticipation. I mean, me being the hacker that I am, right? I know that if I've got positive control of my infrastructure, I can see all data that comes in and goes out. Now, if he went around and specifically circumvented their security and their monitoring and set up, you know, other external connections, it still would have shown something that showed that he was taking data out of the company, unless he was like USBing it and like James Bonding it or like Mission Impossible, you know, coming through the skylight, stealing stuff and being all kinds of cat burglar on it. But I don't think this cat was that smart. I think this guy had an idea. He set it up so that he could have it transferred. I mean, if you got your own server, you're with the exception of people like Hillary, you seem to have a little higher level of technical know-how if you're setting up your own file server to have this put over there. I mean, and we could be hearing it all wrong. We could be hearing the server could just be something as big as a hard drive sitting in his bathroom or something, right?
Yeah.
But he still had the technical know-how to do this. They got caught not managing one of their employees, a person who was charged with the responsibility of 700,000 plus people's financial information. Now, that information is currently being used to sell them Viagra pills and to catfish them money and to do all this other high-speed stuff. And these cats don't even know it. And if you're with Morgan Stanley as an investment, you're likely a senior citizen. So these 700,000 people, or a good chunk of them, are probably senior citizens who aren't very tech-savvy, who don't really know what's going on. They got hacked, and the SEC only hit Morgan Stanley with pennies.
Mm-hmm. And I agree with that. But it almost seems like the government is trying to force standards through attacking companies that are breached and sort of nitpicking what they should or shouldn't have done, but not putting out clarifying guidance as to here's what we believe you need to do in order to adequately protect client information. And then look at the OPM hack. Their security was horrible, and to include the IRS, who gets breached all the time.
But they didn't get fined. Neither of them. Like they got the headline.
It's sort of the government has a double standard. Do what we say, but we don't have to follow the same rules.
Oh, we know that's the standard. We know that. We know that they operate above the law, and that's a lot of the problem here. But in the end, it comes down to normal people. People like you, me, and you know, people out here who are living our daily lives. Our personal lives hang in the balance of all of this. It's not that grand, but like, you know, could you afford to lose $1 million?
No, but think of the small financial advising firms that have maybe a handful of people. There's no way they would have been able to put this type of security in place. And if they had gotten breached, then they would be slammed. And
well,
so
I mean, what kind of security? I mean, from what I remember, from what I know about it, my dealings with the SEC, they're like, pick a standard. The standard is usually ISO 27000 something series, right? That's the standard they usually play with them with. They say, pick a standard, announce that this is your standard, declare this is your standard, and then make sure you have the right policies and procedures in place. I have yet to see. I mean, we've got the NIST 800 series. That's kind of a government thing. We've got SOX, we've got PCI, we've got all these other ones that are out there. But I have yet to see the federal government come out and mandate that people have a certain level of security. And that's the SEC, right? Is the SEC not federal? So what are they enforcing?
Well, yeah. Well, you also have HIPAA and high tech, which are very broad. But that's my issue. The standards and the requirements are very broad, and they're not. I tell clients all the time, there is no real clear standard. And in this case, it seems like the better security you have, the higher standard you're going to be held to. So if they were just to say, hey, we implemented a NIST standard and we used what everybody else is using to, you know, to monitor and control employees, on and so forth, then they would have been held to a lower standard. It's almost like we did more and went above and beyond, and we were held to a higher standard. So I don't know. It's just when you read through it, it's almost like the government's just, like I said, being very heavy-handed. And again, I'm not defending Morgan Stanley. This wasn't even a pinprick to them. But
okay. Well, I'm still trying to wrap my head around it. I mean, I honestly think that they should have been fined a lot more money. I think that there should be some sort of policy or procedure in place that tells companies of a certain size that handle certain things that they have to protect people's information. Or there's got to be some sort of recourse where it's like, you cannot do this. You cannot adhere to some sort of policy. You cannot have these procedures. But for every record, if you get breached, we're going to fine you X hundreds of dollars per record that you lose. But I'm up against a break again, so don't go anywhere. This is Hack, the Charles Tendale Show on Denver's Money Talk 1690. I'm talking to David Wilson about Morgan Stanley getting hit with a minuscule little fine for losing a lot of data about you that could get you financially broke. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is Hack, the Charles Tendale Show on 1690 AM.
With SRN News, I'm Val Dior. It's being called a victory and a non-decision. A deeply divided U.S. Supreme Court has failed to rule on President Obama's immigration plan to help millions living in the U.S. illegally because a lower court ruled against the program and is effectively killed for the rest of the president's tenure. A bipartisan compromise on guns has cleared a procedural hurdle in the Senate, but it's not clear it will go any farther. The bill would block people on the no-fly list from getting guns, but provide an appeals process to allow them to challenge the denial. Many Republicans say it doesn't do enough to guarantee due process rights. The final results aren't expected until hours from now, but there are reports from London that the Remain side is leading in today's historic vote on whether Britain should leave or stay in the European Union. Meanwhile, stocks have closed sharply higher. The Dow up 230, the S&P up 28, NASDAQ up 77. You're listening to SRN News.
Business never takes a break, neither do we. So, take Denver's Money Talk 1690 AM with you with our brand new mobile app. Stay up to the minute with breaking news, market strategies, current trends, and more wherever you are. With live streaming, listen to your favorite Money Talk shows whenever you want, on demand. It's like a personal advisor in your pocket. Do something today that your future self will thank you for. Download the brand new Money Talk app on iTunes or the Google Play Store. Or at MoneyTalk1690.com.
Are you interested in being your own boss but don't know where to start? Made Right offers home-based business opportunities for people without business experience so you can build a better life for you and your family. For a limited time, our chief bargain hunter has teamed up with Made Right to offer a franchise for 50% off. That's only $3,300. Visit DenverHalfPrice.com or just click the bargain hunter link on 710KNUS.com or KRKS.com for all the details and see why a home-based business with Made Right is the right fit for you. That's a Made Right franchise for only $3,300, and the only place to find it is at DenverHalfPrice.com.
What's for dinner?
You're exhausted after a long day at work and a heck of a commute. The last thing you want to do is cook a meal. You need Chef Curry's Cuisine. Chef Curry's Cuisine can make family dinner fun again by preparing home-cooked meals by a local Denver chef. Chef Curry will do the shopping, cook 2 weeks of Monday through Friday dinners, provide the packaging and cleanup too. All of Chef Curry's meals are made with the freshest ingredients, and you get to choose them from a large variety of proteins and sides. So, next time you hear,
"What's for dinner?"
you can say, "Chef Curry's Cuisine." No more hassles, just healthy, fresh meals for you to enjoy. Visit ChefCurry'sCuisine.com and get details on weekly menus, along with brand new catering options for your private parties or office functions. Or call 720-404-2798. That's 720-404-2798. Go on, add some spice to your meals. Start with Chef Curry's Cuisine.
We now return to the Charles Tendell Show on KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
That actually reminds me. There was something I didn't tell you guys about how to connect to this show. That's right. First and foremost, you can go over to the CharlesTendellShow.com. You can click the subscribe button to catch the podcast anywhere, because the show goes from live to podcast, so it's everywhere. You can subscribe to that via the RSS. You can send me an email to charles@thecharlestendellshow.com, or you can give us a call, 303-632-4160, or the number is still again, 303-632-4160, or you can download your favorite app for the 1690 show. You can go and download the 1690 app from your favorite app store. But the thing that I forgot to tell you was, if you like the music on this show, if the bump ins, the bump outs, the random changes and all that other stuff, like, yeah, that's all Donnie. I say hi, Donnie.
Hi, Donnie. Hello.
It's all Donnie. But if you like that music, all of it comes from a playlist on Spotify. So if you go to the CharlesTendellShow.com and click on interact, or click on the get together buttons, there's a place in there for the Spotify playlist. It's just called The Playlist. And you can see all of the music, all of my favorite music, all of the stuff that I like listening to over here on the Charles Tendell Show. But welcome back. I'm talking to David Wilson about Morgan Stanley getting hit with what is, in my opinion, too little of a fine. And he brings up valid points that it's too little of a fine, but there's no real standard for them to enforce. So who was really at fault here? Who do we blame? But it's all in this weird kind of Hillary Clinton-esque email scandal, right? We've got, on one hand, we've got people who are getting their own private servers. They're pulling off all this data. They're outside of the company. They can't really be controlled with their data, but they still lost 700,000 records or more. So welcome back, David.
Thank you. Okay. Let me make this one point, and I'll throw it out to you or whoever wants to call in.
Okay.
The safeguards rule under the SEC says, let's see, commission, it was created in 2000, update amended in 2005. It says every broker, dealer, and investment advisor registered with the commission must adopt written policies and procedures reasonably designed to ensure security and confidentiality of customer records, protect against anticipated threats or hazards, protect against unauthorized access. And then it says in the order, Morgan Stanley installed and maintained technology controls that, among other things, restricted employees from copying data onto removable storage devices, from accessing certain categories of websites, and they had those policies and procedures in place. And they went after them and said, you are negligent, we are now fining you.
Right. They had the policies and procedures in place to say you as an individual, like you and I wouldn't be able to do this. You can't take data out of the organization. You can't do that, right? Don't take the money. You can't take any type of information out. So we had those policies and those procedures in place. However, this employee circumvented those, right? And they can't find the employee. They can't find the employee negligent because he got hacked, right? Which is retarded. Like, he caused the problem here. But he did it either A, with the knowing of Morgan Stanley, or B, with Morgan Stanley not having strong enough controls to detect this cat and to keep him from doing it. I mean, this is it's one of those things where it's like you can fault the company, right? You can fault the company for one of their employees violating their policy and then causing all of these things to be released to the mass public.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's almost like, I mean, I you know, ignorance is no excuse.
Yeah.
Well.
Uh-huh.
But it's almost like you met the standard, but you didn't tweak it to the point where, in our minds now, after the fact, Monday morning quarterbacking, we're going to fine you anyway because, hey, you were breached. So as far as we can tell, you screwed up, even though we have to really reach very far out to figure out where that screw-up was.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they did.
And I'm not – they yes, they should have been fined a lot more because they've done a lot worse than this. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm thinking of the little companies that are going to be – now start to be held to the same standard, and – they're going to be looking at, like, well, I don't know, I've got a firewall, I hired an IT company to help me out. What more do you want me to do? So,
right. So, I mean, that makes sense. The small guys aren't going to be, you know, susceptible to this. And if you do get a small guy that gets hit with a $1 million fine, they are going to collapse, right? Yeah. But there's no reasonable expectation that a company that is only making $1 million is going to get fined $1 million. Like, there's no expectation of them to actually adhere to any sort of level of cybersecurity. In fact, most of the small companies, I mean, look at the HVAC company that caused the Target breach. Look at the mom and pop companies that caused the Visa and the MasterCard breaches. Visa and MasterCard lose money. They are the ones that have to answer to the SEC because these small shops, that's like getting blood out of a turnip. Like, even if you do sue them and they do go under, you're still only going to get, you know, what, 10 grand? And that sucks. That sucks because they're already having a problem. They're already going to have to deal with the weight of the fact that they got breached. They're going to lose customers. Nobody's going to want to deal with them. They cannot physically afford the hit to their business, even for a small amount of time, right? They just can't do it. You know, some of the bigger businesses like Morgan Stanley, you get this kind of hit. You get a $1 million hit, or you get hacked, or it makes a headline news. They're going to be like, eh. All right, cool. Look at what happened to Target. People were worried about that for like 48 hours, if that. Like, maybe I would take it even better. For like 45 minutes, people were worried about that. They were like, swipe.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, like, I'm looking at LPL Financial Corporation, mm-hmm. and this was in 2008. They were fined $250,000 for violating the safeguards rule. And it doesn't go into a whole lot of detail about what happened, but again, it's almost like they were forced, they were fined for not meeting a standard that A, wasn't clear, and B, was sort of above and beyond the standard that everybody else is sort of being held responsible for. And you know, when you look at all the data breach lawsuits going on right now, no court has come to the conclusion that anybody is negligent because they've all settled out so far, or they're still working through the courts. So there really is no standard out there other than the government trying to implement little things here and there. So it's just, I don't know. That's the problem I have with it.
So you're saying they're going to get attacked with a standard that doesn't exist. They're going to be expected to adhere or uphold this standard that they won't understand, or they won't have the technical capability to do so, the money to do so, and that's going to be crippling to small companies. But what's the solution here? So you're saying that we need government oversight over cybersecurity?
No, because the government doesn't do anything well when they try and oversee everyone.
Right.
And here's the flip side of that. I don't think anybody can come up with a standard because technology is moving so quickly. You used to hear how cryptography, encryption, it'll never be broken. Well, now it's all being broken, from way, way back when. And, it is all dependent on the speed of computing, which mm-hmm. gets greater and greater every year.
Mm-hmm.
And with hackback, people say, well, you can't do that. You can't trace back to see where the hacker is. And in talking to people like you and other experts, I've found out that, just give it a little bit of time, and you will be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So with regard to hackers, never say never. If they want in, they're going to get in.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And, I was talking about this earlier today with a gentleman from CSO Magazine, which should actually be out before the end of the month. So there's check that out if you're looking for one. It'll be over on the CharlestonDaleShow.com about an article with me in it. Yay! But the whole conversation was around how organizations, regardless of how they legislate, regardless of all of the controls and all the mechanisms that are put in place, you can walk malware. You can walk an attack into the system, so it's just that hard to catch. It's that hard to stop because it evolves, and it evolves faster than any of the security controls we have out there. So you're right. It is almost impossible for us to be able to come up with a policy. But what if the policy is simply this? Hey, you're a billion-dollar company. Based on the size of your company, you're $1 billion. We're gonna fine you, 2% of your annual revenue per record for every consumer record that you lose, that you get hacked and gets breached, right? And then we're not keeping that. We're only going to keep like a fraction of that. We're not keeping that. We're going to give that back to the consumer because the consumer is in the end the one who either suffered a financial loss or suffered some sort of internal loss or reputation, or now somebody's phishing them, or eventually there's going to be some sort of damage, and there could be even out there to like identity theft and all this other stuff. So you take that money, which might amount up to a couple of $1,000s depending on the size of the company, per record, and you hand that over to the consumer. And it snuck up on me. We've got to go to a break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is Hack, the Charles Tendale Show at Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. I'm talking to David Wilson about one of the largest financial companies in the world losing 700,000 records, only get hit with a $1 million fine, and why it's relevant to you and what we really should be doing. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. Hacking costs companies and consumers millions of dollars every minute. As threats become more sophisticated and harder to combat, the risk to businesses of all sizes increases dramatically. Are you doing enough to protect your investment and your personal data from hackers? Find out how you stack up for free with Azorian Cybersecurity. Know how hackers see your data before you end up on CNN. For your free vulnerability assessment, visit AzorianCybersecurity.com or call 1-877-321-9360. Get an early warning system from Azorian Cybersecurity because dynamic threats require dynamic solutions. Get more information and sign up for your free vulnerability assessment online at AzorianCybersecurity.com. Visit AzorianCybersecurity.com or call 1-877-321-9360.
Let's talk about America's Wellness Clinic, where they are addressing two of the greatest concerns today, especially as people get older: health and financial well-being. Feeling perpetually unfocused, sluggish, tired, or exhausted for about the same cost as a daily cup of coffee? America's Wellness Clinic offers applications that can boost blood circulation, enhance energy, reduce stress, manage sleep, help mental acuity, and give regenerative abilities for sports and work injuries. Over 100,000 Americans die each year from adverse prescription drug reactions. America's Wellness Clinic provides a simple test that reveals which
prescription drugs will work best for you. Soon, America's Wellness Clinic will be providing a non-invasive cancer predisposition test, analyzing 31 genes linked to 8 of the most prevalent and devastating cancers. And what about your financial well-being? The professionals at America's Wellness Clinic provide continuous seminars and information about reverse mortgages, insurance, tax and estate planning, long-term care, college funding sources, alternative investments, and much more. Let America's Wellness Clinic provide you with sensible health and wealth solutions. Call 303-985-4604 or visit them online at americaswellnessclinic.com.
Now, back to the Charles Tendell Show on KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
You know, I hear a funny story about that song, and more specifically this whole part of the song. I actually used it once as the jingle for, like, the 800 number 4 website that I owned many, many years ago that I was using to do, like, remote tax service. I was just hosting the website, and I had, you know, tax accountants all over the place that would come up there, and you could log on and do your taxes for them. But that was the song, and I think that one is Money Talks. So welcome back. This is Hacked on the Charles Tendell Show on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. I'm talking to David Wilson about one of the largest financial institutions in the world, a part of it, got hacked because of essentially an insider threat. There's no real regulation behind it. There's a bunch of people who are just taking money, and that's a good question, actually, and I'll get back to that with you, David. But the question is more along the lines of where does that money go that they took from them? But they got fined for $1 million for losing 700,000 records because of an insider threat that may or may not have been caused by them, but they were still held accountable. And David has a different opinion that we shouldn't be fining companies like this because it just leads to smaller companies getting crushed, right?
No. What I'm saying, and like I said, I don't have any problem with them being fined.
Mm-hmm.
If the SEC could find what I would term as a legitimate negligent act.
Mm-hmm.
And without knowing more facts about it, it's hard to say whether they were negligent or not. Based mm-hmm. on the size of the company and the resources that they have, it may not be too far a leap to say that they were negligent. The SEC and the FTC seem to be trying to drive their own standards through these enforcement actions without any notice to companies that they will be held liable for a particular standard. And again, the standard's not really out there. Like I read earlier, they're required to have the policies and procedures and to protect customer information and try and prevent the threats and try and prevent unauthorized access.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you read the facts, they did that.
But wait. Wouldn't this still fall into, and this is what I was saying before the break and kind of when we came back, isn't this more of an insider threat? I mean, this guy essentially hacked the company to do what it was that he wanted to do and then got hacked himself. You know, he got hacked after hacking them. So wouldn't this fall into kind of an insider threat thing going on?
Sure. And granted, if their software and their security wasn't designed to segment employees and prevent them from accessing files that they weren't supposed to have access to, which mm-hmm. happens a lot, then yes, they were negligent in that regard. And you and I both know one company that didn't do that because their IT department said, oh, it's too much work, which is
mm-hmm.
not. So they were mm-hmm. just lazy. Those people should be fined. But if that was the case where they couldn't or they didn't or for some reason they hadn't kept this employee from accessing other customers' information that he wasn't supposed to have access to, then that was negligent.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, let's say you have a small firm that's like 5 people.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't require them to segment off all customer information per each person. That doesn't make sense because let's say somebody ends up in the hospital or is on vacation or is out sick. You want one of the other employees to be able to access the client information if the client calls. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a, in my mind, it's a business judgment call. And again, I go back to the heavy-handedness, and they're sort of pushing standards that they haven't notified anybody about.
Right. So, okay, and again, I see that. I mean, there's no standard, there's no line, there's nothing that's really telling them, hey, this is what you have to be doing when it comes to cybersecurity. And to find someone because they were ignorant of a law is one thing, but to find someone for being ignorant of a law or a policy that doesn't really exist or isn't really refined is indeed ludicrous. But the way that those all work is Morgan Stanley said that this is what we use as our security. This is our security policy. This is what we adhere to. This is the standard at which we exist. This is what we're telling you that we do. And the SEC said to them, okay, that's what you say you do. I'm going to hold you to that. I'm going to watch you. And if something breaks, then I'm going to take it. We're going to go back to your policy that you defined, that you set out for yourself. And if you broke it, I'm going to fine you. Now, I mean, it's no different than, I mean, you and I both have kids, right? It's no different than us saying to our children, look, I'm going to give you enough rope to hang yourself. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do the right thing. I'm going to let you define the parameters of your restriction or your punishment. You screw it up, it's going to get worse for you. And that's how the SEC kind of works. But in the end, they fine them for this on a policy that they themselves didn't define, that they don't really understand, that no one really understands. And you're right, they don't have all of the technical capability or the know-how or the manpower to fight every single solitary attack type out there. But they still got fined $1 million. Now, where does that $1 million go?
Into the general treasury.
So they get to keep it?
Yeah, they're not giving it to the clients. The clients have to turn around and sue Morgan Stanley to get any money.
So clients that probably didn't know that they got hacked in the first place are probably now losing money on other phishing and other crazy and identity theft stuff and all this other stuff that's going on. Morgan Stanley gets fined a measly little $1 million. The SEC gets to keep that $1 million and do with it as they choose. What does this teach? What does this teach a corporation? I mean, Morgan Stanley, this is a drop in the bucket, but normal-sized companies, this is dangerous.
Oh, yeah. So what's going to happen is companies, especially financial institutions, are going to figure, okay, well, getting breached and getting fined by the SEC is just a cost of business, so we ought to have cyber insurance that covers that.
Oh, and Lord, cyber insurance.
Yeah, to pay for all that, the cyber insurance and the cost of doing business, well, we'll raise our rates a little and push it back on the customer.
Now, see, that brings up a whole other thing. That's a whole other one. So Morgan Stanley probably did this. They probably had that cyber liability insurance, that cyber insurance stuff that corporations pay a couple of $1,000s a month for, right? They get hacked, and they're insured for a couple of $1 million. So Morgan Stanley probably didn't lose anything. Their insurance policy probably covered above and beyond $1 million, so they got to use their insurance claim, at not even out of their pocket, to pay off the SEC, who gets to pocket the money. But then you have the 700,000 people who've lost all this information, right? Who they lost all their information. They had to pay an extra premium for the cyber liability insurance and got zero benefit from it, right? Like. It's Robin Peter to pay Paul. Well, yeah. Actually, no, it's Robin Peter, you know, David, Mike, Matthew, John, Luke, and everybody, and Paul is just sitting on the top of the mountain getting paid. This is insane. Like, I mean, this is okay. So my longstanding one has always been the policy that we need to have is X size of company. You get breached, you get fined X, Y percentage of your gross annual revenue, right? For the past 12 months, right? So that the past 12 months that your revenue, your gross revenue from the previous 12 months, the previous year, is what the base is. And if you get breached, you have to pay out to the consumers, right, whose data you lost, okay, that percentage in your annual revenue to each one of those people. Now, on one hand, I can see how that's going to, in my head, that's going to solve all the problems. People are going to take security more seriously. But on the other hand, I think it's going to kind of shut companies down to the point where, like, well, that's cool, we're just never going to report one. And if we do, we're going to underreport the number of records.
Mm-hmm. Well, or it may cause companies to do what they're doing now, say, well, cost of business, get cyber insurance, add it on top of customer charge, and don't worry about it.
See, there's got to be, I mean, is there a way? What is a way in your head where the consumer can actually win this war? Like, right now, it's big corporations, you know, big websites, APIs, they get hacked. The consumer's always sitting out there like, hey, man, I just use this tech. I don't want to be playing with the security, but I don't want to be doing all of this. You get hacked. You lose all my data. You cause me to get hacked. That's downstream liability. What is the consumer there to do? How can they win this?
If Congress were to write the law so when an organization is fined, that money goes to the consumers who were directly affected versus back into the Treasury or into the operating budget of the federal agency that went after the company for the fine.
Mm-hmm. So you're agreeing with me that the only way to fix this problem so that the consumer wins and we can actually begin to develop better security is to start fining these companies and then giving that money directly back to the consumer.
Yeah, well, and again, back to the small and medium-sized companies are the losers. Because if you suffer a breach like that and you're small or medium, chances are you're not going to be around very long because you've just lost the confidence of all your customers. Whereas the big guys like Morgan Stanley and Target and Home Depot, yeah, they'll have a little bit of drop in stock price and sales, but they quickly come back because everybody realizes they've taken over the world. I have to use them. So I will take the mark and suck it up.
Right. I service sucks, but I don't have any other alternative, so I'm just going to continue to work with these guys. And that's the worst part to be as a consumer. You know, you're going to stick with the one that is abusing you because you're afraid of doing it all by yourself. But in the end, you're just paying for nothing. You know, you're paying people to manage your money who lose your money and then cost you even more money. It's like, wow, that's throwing good money after bad. But I don't know, man. I honestly think that we need – I don't want more government legislation, but if the SEC were to say, we're going to fine you, we're going to take all the money that we fine you, and we're going to give it back to those consumers, I think consumers would be more advocating for better security or at least going after them. Because if there was a widely known policy where the consumer is told, you get hacked because of somebody else, you can call that person and – they, by law, have to give you this amount of money or this type. This is the mathematical equation that they have to use to cut you a check. You know, this is how it works. And if you're a small mom and pop and it's something like 2% of your annual revenue, it ends up being like, you know, I don't know, a couple of $100. You know, so it's not nearly as stinging or as painful. But, you know, yeah, they're going to get the cyber liability insurance. They're going to – those cats are going to – you know, the insurance business is going to explode. Because now there's going to be the paying your fines, you know, option that's going to cost the companies, you know, a couple of extra $1,000, which they will pass to the consumer. So we just got to get a handle on it, man.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me ask you this. What did the SEC accomplish here? Absolutely nothing.
Nothing, really? Yeah, you're right.
No.
You're right.
If the customers sue, then that will send a message to Morgan Stanley. Hey, we're not going to put up with this. We're not going to use you anymore, and you're going to pay us a lot of money for your screw-up. But the SEC, they did nothing. They got $1 million. Consumers got nothing, and they've just driven another standard that most people don't know about, and smaller companies probably can't even meet. So,
Well, David, you've been an awesome guest, man. I always enjoy having you on the show for all of your insight and your wisdom, but I'm out of time. I'm still stuck and crazy about all this stuff, and I'm tired of consumer winning. But thank you for being here, man. I will see you again, I'm sure. If you guys have been following the show, go over to thecharlestendellshow.com, listen to the live stream, subscribe, do all of that crazy fun stuff. If you are watching the YouTube stream, there's always more to come. Don't worry about it. We'll be back. This has been Hacked, the Charles Tendell Show.